this one to me. Very few minutes. First, I want to read a scripture here. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse, Deuteronomy 1, verse 30 says, "The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you."
Amen.
"According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." Then verse 33 says, "Who went in the way before you to fetch you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go in the cloud by day." The moment we come out of Egypt, Egypt is a world. The systems of the world, the spirit of the world, the power of the systems of the world. The most powerful manifestation of God in our lives in the world is salvation. If God can bring us and with a changed heart out of the world, he can do that. So we come out of Egypt, I'm using the physical, we come out of Egypt. You never come out of Egypt, out of the world, for nothing. Amen? You come out of the world, out of the system, because God has a purpose for you. You were born with this purpose. You were born for this purpose. You can only live for this purpose if you understand it. So when you come out of Egypt, the first thing is for you to walk in the direction and the purpose God has for you. But how can you do that when you're used to everything you know, everything you understand to work from the system of the world? We discussed this, but because of the time we have, I want to really summarize this message today. So, if you come out of the world and you are born again, you must acknowledge with all your heart, you must do everything you can by the word of God to first of all know the person that brought you out of the world. Because when you come out of the world, the only way you are in the world, but you're not going to live by the world, and you're going to get to your destination, is that same spirit is what is going to lead you and guide you to your destination. It's impossible to be saved from the world. We're born in it. Satan is over it. You can't come out on your own. So when the power of God, the only creator, the only living God, comes into your life, breaks you out of the system of the world, he didn't bring you just out of the world for nothing. He would have left you there. He brought you out of the world first to set you free from the world in your heart. Because you come out of the atmosphere of the world doesn't mean the world has left you. He walks you here first to take the world out of your heart and then to teach you the ways of God. Then, when you learn this through this called the wilderness, he brings you to a promise. God has a promise. God has a fulfillment. God has a reward for you here. The ultimate reward is heaven. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of order. He doesn't bring you out of nothing and leave you with nothing. He brings you out of whatever he brings you out to bring you into an inheritance, into a purpose, into a finish. It's already done. So we need the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that's why we went back again to that scripture I said to you. As soon as they came out of Egypt, they saw the cloud. And the cloud now leads them. Let me ask you a question before we quickly run through this. How many of you here, if you live in those days, you see a cloud every day, a cloud that is clear, you see it every day, because there are few millions of people. You see this cloud cover you, and then at night, it turns to a fire that lightens the whole place. You see the cloud, and again, you saw this cloud, and you saw the Red Sea part, and this cloud started leading you. How many of you will say, wow, I will follow that cloud wherever it goes, because I know there's power there. How many of you will say that?
No.
Because you see it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way. Because even though the cloud God brought you out of Egypt, and you see the cloud, the problem is, the cloud does not go in the direction of what you can do. So when the cloud says, there is no water, the cloud says, you're going to this direction, to the wilderness, it's going away contrary to what you can do. You see the power there, but your mind is telling me, that there's no water, there's Red Sea, there is that. Why is it that the children of Israel will follow the cloud? Because even though the power of God is there, even though you see the cloud, without faith, you cannot walk in the cloud. That's why today you have the most powerful, you have the third person of the Godhead. He is God. He is inside of us. But still, can you believe that? God lives in you, but still, we still struggle without faith. That's why in Hebrews 11, it's only by faith we are able to walk with him and to receive the things that he wants to do for us. So, when you come out of Egypt, you come out of the world, you have to go through a school. You have to be taught the Word of God. You have to grow in the Word of God. You have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. You have to understand who your new Father is. You have to understand who saved you. You have to learn all this. You have to receive all this. You have to receive their character. And then, by then now you are a child of God. Now God says, take the inheritance, take what I have for you. Amen? Amen. I'm rushing this, but let me say this one more statement. You can never be a citizen of Nigeria and use Nigerian laws to live in America. Because America has a different law. And if you are a citizen of Nigeria or a citizen of Puerto Rico, you cannot come to America and tell America to live by the laws. When you come here, for you to be a citizen, for you to really benefit from the systems set in this place, you have to abide by their laws. You cannot come out of the powers of darkness, the systems of this world, and come to the kingdom of God and say, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't work. You will just become a religious person. You have to abide by the rules of the kingdom. And it works. That's why it says, as long as the cloud goes, if God is leading you, if God is directing you, and you're going in God's ways, you don't fight your battles. There will be giants, there will be obstacles, there will be all kinds of things in the way, but victory is not an option, it's a guarantee. You are an overcomer. There is no devil, there is no Satan that can stand before him that leads you. But then you have to abide. You have to be led. You have to be under the cloud. Amen? So that's why this year, you know, I would say, what do we do? How do we go? He says, they've not got it yet. He says, let's keep on. Once we get it, things begin to change. He says, follow the GPS. So let's look at the GPS one more time. Follow the GPS. Amen? Everybody uses a GPS, isn't it? Amen? Amen. So that's I just explained the GPS to you. So let's look at quickly the GPS and why we need to follow the GPS. Really quick. The GPS for us We know what the GPS is, but here the G represents what? The next thing. How many of you know what the G represents from what we've been studying? The glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the cloud by day, the fire by night, hosting the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? And of course, the Word of God. Amen, like we said. If you don't have this, there's nothing to see in the direction you're going. So, then the next thing is what? We just said it, faith. Position by faith. You know, GPS is a positioning system with a satellite, and that's how it works. If it's not positioned with a satellite, it doesn't work. Without faith, there's no connection. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't walk with God. And just says, but God will say, go here. You will see the cloud, you have the Holy Spirit, you go. He says, those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So faith, without faith is impossible. By God's grace in the future, we'll look at it. But we are going to refocus again what the Lord started last year. If we're under the cloud, if we are the household of faith, and we are walking by faith, and we're here to serve a purpose and to possess our inheritance, what's the next one? S. GPS. Everybody say souls. Souls means people. Amen?
Amen?
If you don't want to deal with people, you're just going to live in the moon. Amen? It's about people. This whole reason we are still here is about people. Amen? It's about people. It's about people. So there are two kinds of people that we deal with when you come into the kingdom of God. One is the people that are saved. They are born again. Amen?
Amen.
And then the other is the people that are unsaved. Amen?
Amen?
The saved need training, need maturity, need growth. They deal with things, they go through things. We go through life. We go through this wilderness process to become mature sons. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it. The purpose of all the gifts God is giving to the church is for maturity, for empowerment, to grow to that stature of Christ and to become useful to the kingdom. You begin to contribute to the growth of the kingdom of God, not diminish. So, the saved, we'll go through that. That's why we're here. That's why we're in church. That's why we have the Bible study on Wednesday. That's why I have the prayer meetings. That's why I have home fellowship. That's why we have all the various things that will help us mature, deal with issues, establish us, help our marriages, help our job situations, help all things we deal with. Listen, if we don't understand training, it's more difficult to deal with people when you get saved than people when you're not saved. Because when you're not saved, you leave the people your way. You can slap them, you can put them in jail, you can knock them out, you can sack them, you can terminate them, you can do anything to protect yourself. But in the kingdom of God, you have to be in the lifetime. It's a different culture altogether. It cannot be your way. In the world, it's easy to do, but in the kingdom of God is doing God's way. Amen? So you have to be trained God's way. You have to be trained how it works. So, where we are now, we're still going to, God is taking us on how to really mature. We grow as believers. But the area that we want to also mention with the focus of this teaching for the next few weeks or so is the unsaved also. Amen? Why? Now that I mentioned yourself, go to the next slide. Discipleship. The next slide. Okay. There are people live right at your home, isn't it? From your children to your wife, to your husband, to your siblings, to your blood, everything. They're all people. Amen? And then people live at your workplace, people live in your environment, basically people live in your city. People live in the nation, people live worldwide. Amen? And God says, everything we do begins at our Jerusalem. It begins from your home. The world says charity begins at what? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, let's go to the next slide, really quick. Now, There's something God has put in our spirit that we're working on, and we're going to go deeper in it in 2024 with GPS, but with a strategy. So you all know we've been talking about the word why. So from here, we want to look at WHY. How many of you knows, how many of you have heard that word WHY here, the why? Eh? Okay, WH, where so the, that slide will come up. WHY is key to how you have solutions in everything. If you understand WHY, you will always have solution. No matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult, that principle is helping me a lot, and that's why the Lord says, use that to impute everything you do. So we've gone through that whole strategy for the WHY. So that's what we're going to be using. So why is it important for people to be saved? Why is it important? Because if you don't understand why, you will not implement the how. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you don't understand why, guess what? 1 whole year, we started the GPS last year. If all of us, let's lift our hands, how many people registered to somebody and they were there? Raise your hand. It's embarrassing, isn't it? That's why God wants us to keep watering the tree and planting and doing. Everybody has their gifts, but every one of us is called to be so. One way or the other. Amen? So why? Why is it important for people to be saved? Why is it important for us to reach? You know, we are for the saints to have that mindset of the tree to reach other people. Number one is one of the most powerful measurements. It's not me saying I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, you know, I speak in tongues, I do miracles, I do. One of the most powerful manifestation, expression of really us weighing our walk to God is love. God is love. For God so loved the world, He gave. Jesus came, He says, I came. One of the big reasons is, I came to seek and to what? Save that which was lost. Isn't it? Because the world is messed up. Everywhere, confusion. Jesus didn't come to condemn sinners. Amen? Dustin, how are you? Okay. Jesus didn't come to condemn sinners because they are condemned already. He came to make a way for their salvation. Amen? We are all here because God has something better for where we have been. So, love, and to have love, is to be like Jesus. Amen? He came to seek and to save the lost. That's his primary goal. He says, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life. Amen? So, if he came to seek and to save the lost, he says, I did not come for those that are well, but I came for those that are sick. Because they were accusing him of being too close and reaching out to unbelievers. He says, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for those that are what? So since you're righteous, great, but let me go after those that still need to come into the kingdom. Amen? So really quick, to show you just an illustration of the power of love. A lawyer, a Christian, a believer, wanted to find out what is important in God's heart. How do I measure love? How do I really know I love God? Jesus explained it clearly. The level to which you love God is the level to which you love people. You can't, we deceive ourselves, but the level to which you love people really shows your depth of God.
Amen.
It's very simple. Because God is love. So, the man came, I keep the commandment, I go to church, I do this, I do all that, I do all this, and he says, so, what's the greatest commandment? God told me is love, like I'm sharing now. And he's trying to justify himself, so okay, I do all these things, so how do you want to tell me I'm not serving God, I don't love God? Jesus told the story, you all know the very popular story, he said that a man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Listen to this, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Possibly Jerusalem is where the temple and church and activities. So it's possibly the person is only Christian. And he was going and he stumbled among thieves. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Somebody is under attack. Somebody is going through a crisis. Somebody is going through a problem. Somebody is at a point where he was doing well before, now something has happened and he's now in trouble and he can't help himself out of the situation. He says, this man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now the Christians are coming out of Jerusalem from the church. He says, Michael Obi was coming, he's a pastor, preacher, the priest. And I saw this guy, I didn't even want to check. Coca is not here, but I said it's Coca or somebody. I just want to see. I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to deal with it. But I just finished preaching about love. So I walked past because I don't want to deal with something. I don't know. I just want to only do the things that somebody can pat me on the back because they see me. Somebody can reward me. Somebody can say, great job, you're doing a great job. Nobody will see me because there's nobody there. It says the Pharisees, they only do the things outwardly for men to see. That's not love. Because it says you get your reward that way. Great. Then it says the praise and worship leader. I won't mention this. Let me mention this. Was passing through that place again. He said the leaders of the church, the ones that represents, when you really talk about love, they stand before them. Was passing, and he saw, he went close, and he looked. Okay, it's not somebody I know. It's not my son, it's not my daughter, it's not my friend. I don't know him. Maybe it was that wounded and battered. He walked the other way. This is God speaking about love. Then he said, this people coming from the church, from Jerusalem. Another person is coming from Samaria. The place where you don't go. Christians don't want anything to do with that. I don't believe that basically or appears to be an event. Coming from that direction, saw the person. This person had a mission. He was with his donkey. He had a program. He had plans. He has things. He saw the person, he stopped. He not only stopped, he used everything within his means to take care of the person. Then after taking care of the person, he took the person where the person can be taken care of. He brought the person into church. You take somebody, bring them to there. Or the person stopped all that and practically did that. Guess what happened? Jesus asked the question. He says, among these people, which one has love? Which one really loves God? Even the Pharisees, all of them, because the example is very clear, he says, the one that showed mercy. He didn't say the one that loved. He used another word that practicalizes love. The one that showed mercy. Mercy is what you call unconditional love. You don't have to know the person. You don't have to look at the person. It doesn't have to be your family. You see the need, you meet it. And you are not looking for it. That's unconditional. Nothing to gain. My brothers, that love is my view. It's godliness. And when we receive Christ, that's when we walk in. So, why do we win souls? Because we were in that situation. I'm going to use somebody. So the next slide. Now, the word why, I didn't want to emphasize on that, why we win souls. We just watched it. Why? If we don't help that person, he might die. And then the Bible talks about no way to help people that we can save. But at least the eternal purpose of that is life. It's not for eternal life. So once we understand why, then the first W is who? It says everyone. If you're born again, it's everyone, isn't it? Everyone. It's me, it's you. Amen? So if anyone that understands the why or prays for God to put that compassion, that mercy in your heart for people, you understand the why. He says anyone that understands the why will be able to fulfill the how. There's a simple three steps how before we pray. The number first how is how do you do that? It's every one of us, but it's for those who understand the why. So how? The next slide. How do you do that? First, you pray. God has made it so easy for us. Pray for what? Amen? Pray for what? Pray for people. Whether you know them or not, just pray for people. Pray. Amen? I pray for my wife all the time. Amen? Because even in marriage, she's a woman and a man. For our marriage to be what God wants it to be, I have to pray for her as she prays for me. We need grace to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. More or less all believers. Somebody needs to pray. Moses prayed 40 years to see Egypt with his children. So you pray for that one. If you know somebody in your workplace, you know somebody, whatever, you know somebody, pray, just pray, God save them, God do something. And then, when you have the opportunity, what's the next step? You pray. The next step is you care. Remember that guy that was beaten by the thieves? Guess what some of us will do when the person is there, about to die? You know what? Do you go to church? Which church do you go to? What happened to you? Why did you go this way? Did you know there are robbers there? We are querying the person that is about to die.
Yeah.
We preach to people all the time rather than showing it to them.
Yes, amen.
Love is so simple. Care. Just care for people. If you don't know how to preach, care for people. Let me tell you, people that care for people, unbelievers and people see more love in them than people that preach to people. Paul says, you are the epistle written in your heart. Your life preaches more than your words. People will not come to church with you if you are at work and you are always telling them, get saved. You don't know, and then they look at your character every time you are, they see all kinds of things. They will say, it's what they see, they will believe. But if you don't preach to them, you're showing love, you're kind. One day somebody could have come to you after you've prayed, you prayed for more people, you're okay, somebody will come to you and say, I don't trust you, Christian, but you go to church. And they will follow you. So the three-step principle is simply pray, because it takes God to pray. The next thing is just care. If you use the word love, people don't know what love is. So care. Just care. That's what people want. And the third thing that happens is, when you care, they will ask you questions. And then you're able now to let them Very simple. God challenged us with this from every year. So far, Bomati is leading the way. Amen?
Yeah.
Bomati has ministered to so many people, but Jesus says, I've sent you out to make disciples and then have fruit and the fruit will remain. We want a lot of people to be saved. A lot of people are praying and preaching for people. But sometimes you bring people to the inn to where they can be cared for and help them grow. So, as we conclude here today, we're going to be going forward. I want to thank God for all our evangelism with us. Last year, we said we just don't want to talk for talk. Let's implement a strategy. So last year we have a strategy, we started with practical. We have evangelism leaders, captains, who go out once a month. Because of time, I don't want to go into the different kinds of evangelism. The best evangelism is just where you work, where you live, at home, at work, in life. But then there's an intentional evangelism where you go out as an outreach. Say, go you out and make disciples. We have people that lead throughout the first week, the first Saturday in the morning, the second Saturday in the morning, the third Saturday, the fourth Saturday, the fifth Saturday. We have people that lead people to evangelism. They meet here, they plan, and they go. This year, we are going to pray to that because we're just starting, and I believe God will make all of us so winners. Amen? So if you want to be part of that, we'll talk more about that. Or the Pastor Emmanuel is over right now, the outreach thing to Pastor Grace comes back from missions. Amen? So the first Saturdays we have Minister Yinka and their sister Janice. They are in charge of the first Saturdays. The second Saturday is Pastor Victor and the wife. The third Saturday is Yolanda and Brother Warwick. The fourth Saturday is Sister Bomati and Wola Ojo. And then the auxiliary, when we have five Saturdays, is supposed to be K and Dr. Mustola. These are the evangelism, these are the intentional, but this year, the Lord is placed on in our spirit that will make sure by the end of next year, we will not have room for the upstairs. We have a strategy. And God is going to lead us. And the fruit will remain. Amen?
Amen.
So that's where we are. In closing, my brothers and sisters, for 25 years, I refused to be married because I wanted to focus on God. So God walked me through so many processes. But God wanted to take me deeper. God wanted to kill things in me. And the only way to do that is to make sure I'm married. Marriage is the best thing God can give to you outside of this. It's the richest thing. But a lot of people don't understand what marriage is. What marriage means. Amen? If you understand the why for marriage, the how will make you enjoy it. Ever since I got married, God has matured my life. God has grown me. God has matured me. Amen?
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 Amen.
When you finish your furniture, I'm her sandpaper, she's my sandpaper. Amen? You have to make sure that furniture is what? Smooth. And shiny and beautiful so people can buy it. Love. Don't say the love of God. Tell me loving people. She is the love of my life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is good.
Amen.
You say it, I hope you mean it. Let's pray. I want to ask you to really seriously ask God. You cannot be an evangelist without love. You cannot be. People matter to God. Period. It's all about people. Father, open our hearts. Help us not to live 2024 all about me. Am I? Father, put in our hearts your mercy, your compassion to know that there are still people around us. Give us the grace to intentionally pray for people. And as we move about life, give us opportunity to care. Father, as we care, you are the one that will give the demands. Then we share. We thank you. We honor you. Make this year fruitful in our lives. Help us to grow and help us to reach others. We give you all the grace, all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.